Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. We'll have some time for some questions from the audience. If you have a card, please, the ushers will start collecting. We're going to start with House Bill 504, recently passed. When we call our New Hampshire governor at 271-2121, what should we say to urge him to pass the bill?
Was that 271?
2121.
2121? So that House Bill 504 is the resolution I referred to, the New Hampshire resolution calling for the constitutional amendment. We are celebrating the victory of the New Hampshire's legislature, making it the 20th state to do so. But the governor now has the opportunity to join with the people of New Hampshire and the legislature and sign on to this. He also has the opportunity to veto it. And I understand sometimes governors think resolutions are just resolutions and we shouldn't be telling Washington what to do, or we shouldn't in our states be telling our congressional delegation anything. But the reason 20 states have done resolutions, and this is what I would say when you talk to the governor when you call, is this is different. It's not a resolution saying, you know, we like sunny days. You know, it's a resolution about structural reform of our country and constitutional amendments, and the states have always had a vital role to play. Amendments always come from the states first, because Congress doesn't wake up one day and say, here's a good idea, let's change all the way we've been doing business till now. It depends on us in the states. So let the governor know that we're counting on all New Hampshire coming together. Doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, Independent, governor, legislature, school committee, presidential candidate, everyone getting behind this. And so that's what I would suggest. You know, if it's I hope your governor doesn't disagree on the merits, but maybe sometimes they're not sure about resolutions because they're not technically laws of the state, but they are how we win constitutional amendments. So that's the case I'd make, and I hope you do. Thank you.
And so this week, New Hampshire voters have more than 50 chances to ask 2020 candidates if they'll fix our democracy first. What advice do you have when we're talking to our elected officials?
Well, I think I'd say the same thing. I'd ask very directly to every candidate that you can reach, say, we need a constitutional amendment because the court has said we can't have any reasonable limits on money in our elections. We must have reasonable limits or we're going to lose our democracy. What will you do to support and advance a constitutional amendment that has the backing of most of the American people? Ask them to pledge to support it, ask them to move it forward, and ask them once again, the key is that the only way to get an amendment is Americans working together across partisan lines. There's no strategy for 67 votes in the Senate, 290 in the House, and 38 state ratification that depends on one party. So sometimes in primaries, the candidates are focused on their primary voters, and we need to ask them to pledge to support this amendment. I'd do that, and then to work with members of the other party to help get it done.
So please comment on the possibility or probability of foreign money getting laundered into the U.S. campaign finance system.
It's not a possibility, as John McCain also pointed out when he was with us. It's an actuality. Foreign money is in our political system. Foreign nations can very easily run money, intelligence operations or corporations or individuals can easily run money, because once the Supreme Court decided we're not allowed to limit corporations' money, well, all you need is a corporation set up in Delaware. I could do that for you by Monday at noon if anybody wants a Delaware corporation. And then the money is then funneled through the many different entities that come into our elections and just go straight to Facebook or other places where these sort of attack ads are run and this disruption is run. So, you know, it's the technology and the way money has changed makes the risks we face even more perilous. I mean, the last Gilded Age was a problem of concentrated power. It was a problem of great, big, new industrial corporations overwhelming the voices of the people. And we got a lot of big reform in the Teddy Roosevelt days. And we got four constitutional amendments in 10 years and much else to reform that system. Those big corporations were American corporations. They were run by people like John Rockefeller. You know, that was a problem of concentrated power. But corporations now are global. Money is global. It zips around the world so fast. And to say that we, the people, don't have a right to try to put some guardrails around our electoral process is just a catastrophic mistake. So foreign money is almost a bit of a not the right word, because money is neither American, as our corporations, you know, they're neither American nor foreign. They're global. And so, you know, when a casino mogul puts $35 million into a super PAC and has casinos in Macau and all over the world, where's that $35 million from? So it's one of the great risks and one of the great urgencies that we get this amendment done and start putting some rules in place to protect our political system.
Okay, so I got lots of questions, and I'm going to rapid fire four of them at you, but they're kind of connected. Okay. What can we as individual citizens do to support the 28th Amendment to ensure passage? The 28th Amendment hasn't been getting much media exposure. What can we do about it? Who will write the 28th Amendment? Is it an elected committee of citizens, and who will select them? And if 75% of all states pass the amendment, can you predict how much time it will take?
Okay, so that's a lot.
But they're connected.
They are connected. They all say 28th Amendment, I guess. All right, where to begin? Who will write the amendment? Well, in one sense, we all will. American Promise has a program called Writing the 28th Amendment. Sign up at AmericanPromise.net and check it out. Yeah, again, the digital age, we can all weigh in. But ultimately, it is a resolution passed by Congress, 2/3 of Congress. And in the end, what passes will be written in the Congress and by Judiciary Committee, and it'll pass there and then be debated. So like any bill, the citizens need to be at the table to make sure it's the best law possible. The one I read that was introduced in Congress, as I said, I think is a very good start. But we have a few years, and if you want to influence what it says or have questions about it, AmericanPromise.net is a place to find out. And you can sign up in the back, as I said, to do that. And we do work with members of Congress to bring expertise. We have lawyers and judges working with us to make sure it's right. But the reason we had a citizen commission in Massachusetts as part of that ballot initiative, we think it's really important that all Americans who have a wish to get involved in the weeds of what the amendment says can do so. Our timeline on when we expect the vote to be, we need a couple more election cycles for the American people to bring our unified strength behind this message to the ballot box, and we think we'll have ready to get 290 House members and 67 senators in time for a vote in 2023 or four, just a few short years away, and then have rapid ratification through 38 states. Now, the rapid ratification through 38 states, the reason we think we can do that is, again, the cross-partisan support for this, the strength we're building now, and unlike other amendments, the actual goal is not controversial. Most Americans want this. The trick is navigating through a very divided, divisive time to get it done. And that's what we're building together. I know I missed a couple of questions. Media attention, same thing as everything else. Citizen action, amplify what New Hampshire's done. And the way to do that first is to join with others so we all have a loud voice. So if you're not already involved in opendemocracynh.org or AmericanPromise.net, do so. And then deliver. You know, the petitions we're gathering will be delivered so that we can take them and you can take them to a state legislature, to the media, to members of Congress to say, here, I want to give you 1,000 more New Hampshire citizens who've signed on to stand with New Hampshire. Those citizen actions count a lot. Social media and all that counts a lot, too. The media will come along. The media likes a fight more than a unified effort. Together, I think they sometimes find that boring or something, I don't know. But if we were attacking each other, we'd get lots of stories. But when we're working together to move something big forward, they'll be there to report big time when it's coming across the finish line. But, you know, the media is important, but not nearly as important as the citizen voices. So talking to your neighbors, doing the letters to the editor, all that old-fashioned citizen work is still the best way to advance this, and trust that we are networking those actions together across the nation. That's how we got 20 states. That's how we got 200 plus in Congress, 47 in the Senate now. We have more to go. Because it really does work. So, you know, don't feel as isolated as you can sometimes feel, like, oh, my letter to the editor won't really count, or my little petition there won't really do anything. It does do something. It does a lot. So.
So I heard one more question, but I've got two that are sort of connected. A Granny D Memorial Walk will be held on August 3rd from Granny D's house in Dublin to Depot Square right across the street. How many people in the audience would be willing to walk for the cause? Yay! And what are your thoughts about Granny D?
Oh, my thoughts about Granny D. My main thought... That's what I was thinking. My main thought is I regret I never got the chance to meet her, actually. I had a friend who, when I did the Citizens United brief in the end of 2009 and the case came down in early 2010, I had not actually been very involved in the whole campaign finance stuff. I'd been an assistant attorney general. I'd been a partner in a Boston law firm. I wasn't really aware as much, like lots of Americans, of who was doing what. So I never got to meet her, but somebody told me, a friend who knew her well and walked with her in parts of that trip, that when she heard Citizens United had struck down, the Supreme Court had struck down the McCain-Feingold Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act that she had walked and worked so hard for, and she was 100 at that point, and said, I guess I have to get walking again. And so what I get mostly from Granny D, who passed away not long after that, is incredible inspiration and frankly some sense of responsibility that we don't let people who came before us, who sacrificed so much by believing in what we are as a country and believing in each other, that we don't let them down and just let this go down without a fight. So that's what I take from Granny D and so many of her generation, that, you know, they inspire us to do better.
Great. So. Thank you so much, Jeff, and for sharing your time and expertise with us.
Thank you.
Sunday's speaker will be Lenny Murkowski, director of Apple Hill Center for Chamber Music, and we'll talk about playing for peace through chamber music. And the musicians will be the student quartet from Apple Hill. Now please join us in the Parish Hall for a lively conversation and refreshments provided by Bagel Mill, and books are available to be purchased from today's speaker. Thank you.